What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to the Baseball Card Strategy Show, episode 6. I've got my main man, Kendall Lefty McKee, with me. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Dude, sliding in on two wheels this episode, my friend.
Let's go.
Was almost late, but I'm not.
No worries. Rocking the Just Baseball hat. We've got a baseball card strategy show and the Just Baseball hoodie. Love it.
These are new. These aren't even available yet.
They're slick. I like them. It looks cozy. I got to get some new gear for my businesses, especially no off season. Got to get some no off season gear. Got to get some sports card strategy show, baseball card strategy show gear. What up, Frankie Goodman?
What up,
my
Frankie?
New friend in the UK. We met at the London card show. Frankie's soccer cards, but he's also got his own grading company, digitalgradingco.co.uk, I believe is the URL, Frankie. So check him out. Bought a couple cards from him at the show, and he's got more than just soccer. But today we're here to talk about baseball cards. But Kendall, before we re-rank all of the baseball cards at nooffseason.com, which is the premise of today's show, got a question for you. You may or may not have heard this recently. Why vault your cards with the original marketplace? Because the eBay vault isn't just a way to protect what you collect, Kendall and everyone out there. It's a new way to trade. Not only have your cards never been safer thanks to our secure, climate-controlled facility, but you're also locking in real savings. You pay no sales tax. None when you ship or transact in the vault, and there are no storage fees for 2 years. Now, just imagine everything you can do with all that money. I mean, I flip cards way before the two-year mark comes up, and with eBay Vault's seamless in-app experience, you can track, buy, and sell your cards in real time, from listing your cards in seconds with the eBay collection to tracking trends with eBay Price Guide. Managing your collection. Cure. So, Kendall, we're not here to talk much more about vaulting cards today, although we do talk quite a bit about that on the Sports Card Strategy Show because it is relevant. We're here to re-rank all of the baseball card rankings at nooffseason.com because it is post-World Series, what I believe, what I'm calling the baseball card buying season. I believe baseball card selling season will likely start, depending on the card, sometime around early January, really probably peak around April, I would say. But there'll probably be opportunities to buy all the way up until April anyway. So, but I think right now is starting to get interesting to me personally. I want to buy some baseball cards. So to that end, let's jump right in. Why don't you lead us in a discussion of starting at number one? How are we re-ranking the players at nooffseason.com? From one, let's go as far as we can in this episode. We've got about 50 minutes from this point. So I'll let you take over from here. Lead the way as our host of Baseball Card Strategy Episode 6. And we might take some questions from the audience here. Those of you that are live with us, of course, we'll respond.
You want to count up or down?
Well, Kendall, this is your show. You're just here along for the ride, so you do whatever you want to do. But I want to make sure that the listeners get to number one in this episode.
Oh, we will get to number one.
So let's do it. I'll shut up. You go.
So. First off, man, I am pumped about this one. I dove in last night. I put everybody that I could think of in a spreadsheet, and then I was just like, all right, where are we moving them up and down? You know, like, and I was like, okay. And then I moved some to the right column, like, because I was like, okay, that one, I'm not really sure where that goes anymore. So I'm like just masterminding here. It actually reminded me of my like college basketball recruiting days when we're like looking at a big board of been like, all right, like, what do we do here? And I had to make some tough calls, Paul. I had to be like, you know, like, this is a guy that you could invest in, but this is not a guy I'm investing in. And so I was like, all right, do I give advice on guys I'm investing in? And I was like, I think I do. I think Paul has trusted me with that. So, for instance, I'm just going to go and say two guys that are not on my list at all that are surprising to people. I am not investing at all in Mookie Betts or Luis Robert. Just not on the list. Neither one of them are on my list currently. Mookie was a really, really hard cut because I was like, Mookie is a part, but Mookie's card falls into that department of a veteran that is to a certain, like we always talk about between 2015 and 16 is when Bowman really ramped. And before that there are some veterans that just don't have the same value. And long-term, I think they do, but we're talking about this window. We're talking about between the next 6 to 12 months. Is this the top 25 investments about? And some of these names, you're going to be like, whoa, that's lower, or whoa, that's higher than it should be. And I'm going to say, okay, that's the next 6 to 12 months. It's not in relation to who's the better baseball player. We're thinking about position. We're thinking about market. We're thinking about price. We're thinking about eligibility or viewability, I guess. And there's just a lot that goes into necessarily the hobby. Another little asterisk that I wanted to read Frankie's message. But another little asterisk that I wanted to say is I did want to say that pitchers are not on this list. Very rarely would I choose to invest in a pitcher. And there is not going to be a pitcher on this list. There are some that you can make money off of. And I think we've talked about that a little bit before, but you have to be very, very strategic. There is also all of these, most of these prospects are going to be, the card I'm going to be talking about is the Bowman Chrome Auto. Probably the base auto is what I will be talking about. Like, I have some price guides to some of them baked into all this, but wherever possible with any of these guys, I would say get a color auto, because just like everything is evolving in terms of printing, print runs and all that kind of stuff, the more numbered cards you can get, the better. The PSA 10 is what I would go for. I don't really buy anything under a PSA 10 just because I think long-term it's going to be more liquid to buy a PSA 10. So if you can afford one, go for it. The prices that I'm listing are raw autos, though. So just to let you know. Okay, so I think that's covered all of my questions. The MLB veterans that I will talk about, I will distinguish whether I would recommend the rookie auto from Topps or their Bowman Chrome auto from Bowman, because I think it's a little bit of a unique case where sometimes it's one and not the other. So I'm going to name a couple of guys that are outside my top 25. When I ranked everybody, I have a top 54 right now, Paul. I sent you the spreadsheet. I don't know if you saw it, but there's 54
I'm looking at it right now. I've been looking at it all day. And just before you jump in here, the list, nooffseason.com will feature your top 54. I'm going to get it updated this week, so everybody check it out this week. Kendall, sounds like you're going to count down from 25 on the show. That's great. That gives everybody something to come to the website to look at as well. And most of these guys already have profiles on Kendall's list. Most of them have profiles at nooffseason.com. I think about a third of them don't. So I'll probably be adding their new profiles over the next few weeks. So go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, so basically I just put anybody that I'm even considering investing in right now on this list. And this is also not talking about the baseball Chrome release that's going to release later this month. It's not a strong checklist, so there probably won't be a lot of guys that I'm going to add to this list, if any. But there's definitely going to be some guys that I add when draft 22 comes out, which will be in December. There are definitely going to be new draft guys that are going to hit this list to some degree, which means that probably some of these guys will cut off the list. So some guys that are above my top 25 that I just wanted to mention just making the cut, like not the cut, at 26 was Evan Carter. I think he's going to be a really explosive outfielder. He plays for the Rangers, which is my favorite team. But that's a consensus outside of me. I think I have him ranked lower because I'm biased on Rangers players. I've seen the player development not go so well. Anyway, I thought he just missed my cut at 26. Some guys down there, though, in the higher than 25s, are some guys that I really do like. Manuel Rodriguez is a good one. Curtis Meade is a good one. Jackson Merrill is an interesting one that I have at ranked 33. He doesn't have an autograph yet, but he's good enough that I think you could buy his PSA 10 firsts and make some money on that. There's another guy in this set that's way high that does not have an auto yet either, which will be unique. I like a guy named Sal Frelick. I think he's a Brewer system, is going to be a solid baseball player, probably not a top end, but definitely a high floor player. And then guys like Brennan Davis, Nick Gonzalez, got slipped into my not top 25, and they're closer to the end of my list. I still am interested in investing in them and Juan Soto and O'Neill Cruz, but and even Jason Dominguez to some level, but they're all outside of my top 25. So those are just some names that I've listed that are above my top 25. Actually, it looks like Evan Carter is my 25 when I count the one line that is the title on my spreadsheet. So I'll just go ahead and just name my five from 25 to 20, and then we will you can ask me a couple of questions about those, and then we'll get rolling. How does that sound?
Perfect.
So 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20. Okay. So in my top, in the first section here, do we have any questions? Do I need to cover Frankie's question?
No, I'll probably just monitor the comments in the chat while you're going, and then maybe every five we can pause and take any relevant comments.
Awesome. So this first five has a couple of veterans, or three veterans, two guys you don't have previously on your list, and then one guy that everybody is buying. So Evan Carter comes in at 25. Yordan Alvarez, which just won a World Series, I have at 24, which is, I'll have to defend that. Colt Keith, who is a Tigers player, is ranked at 23. James Wood at 22. CJ Abrams at 21. And Ronald Acuna Jr. coming in at 20. So these guys, let me just start with the MLB veterans here. The MLB veterans here, I think, are guys that are going to be good long-term and will be good long-term investments. But Acuna and CJ Abrams, for instance, do have large market shares. And so when you see veterans on this, I'm thinking about veterans that are always going to be liquid and moving. And I think Ronald Acuna is one of those. Yordan is an interesting case because he's probably at a peak right now, but I think he could end up being one of the best hitters of all time when it's all said and done. The only reason that I have him as high as 25 or 24 is that he is a DH only and will probably, or technically right now he is playing field at times, but he is a DH, which I think extremely inhibits his value. But he will be one of the best hitters of all time. And we've seen that this postseason where he was able to do stuff that no one else can do. And so I think he's worth having on the list, but I think he's one that I'm would be the shakiest on moving him away from the top 25 as soon as this new release comes out. But Evan Carter and Colt Keith are both new additions to our list. Evan Carter is an outfielder, and Colt Keith is a really interesting guy. He has a lot of stats that make him look really good. He has a cool name. He's the Detroit Tigers need somebody that's going to be good. They held, you know, like, you love Detroit, so we'll just start there. Torkelson, Green, and Dingler, and those guys, that group of people, didn't excite like they thought they would. I don't know if you've noticed, but Dingler's not on my list, and then the other two are in the bottom. Like, I actually might have taken Riley Green off. Like, I just was not impressed with their season, was not impressed with their development. Torkelson just looked like just another power hitter that strikes out a ton, which is unfortunate. I do have him on the list still because I do think he does make a sophomore turnaround. But anyway, I think Colt Keith is going to be a guy that no one's really expecting to come in and do well, and he's going to come in and surprise a lot of people. So
I think his name is Keith Colt.
You're right.
I think his first name is Keith and his last name is Colt. Is that right. Or no? Or is the card wrong? Am I reading the card wrong?
I'm pretty sure it is. I messed that up.
Keith Colt. There's a card.
No, it's Colt Keith.
It is. Okay, well, beware of this then, everybody, because check this out. Sorry. I don't mean to derail the show, Kendall, but this is a interesting point, especially when you're talking about prospects. If you see in the chat, you'll see that I say why we're focusing so much on prospects. It's mainly because there's this could be an O'Neill Cruz situation. It's mainly because it's easy to kind of predict when you can profit off of these guys when they get the call up hype. But to me, this looks like on his card, It says Keith Colt.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the PSA grade on the PSA label, Keith Colt. So this could be an O'Neill Cruz situation. What I mean by that, if you don't get the reference, is his name was spelled wrong on his first Bowman. Mm-hmm. When you go to sell it, like when I sold my O'Neill Cruz for the profit that I sold it for, I actually listed it as O'Neill Cruz. I listed it as O'Neill Cruz, one with the correct spelling, one with the incorrect spelling that was on the card. I don't know. So you can keep going, but that I just noticed that as I was.
Yeah, that is interesting. Colt Keith is for sure his name. That's how Fangraphs, MLB.com, and JustBaseball.com has listed it. You scared me for a second because I am prone to messing people's names up. So I was like, yeah, you're right.
No worries.
Yeah, so he is a third baseman in the Tigers system. The MLB.com has him ranked at number 8 in the Tigers system, which is further down probably than you would like to invest in, I guess. But I think he's a guy that we're just going to keep an eye on. And he is my top 25 because I think he could be in a market where he's high. But the guy right above him, I have no defense for. Like, I have no defense for keeping it. He couldn't not be in the top 25. This guy, James Wood, is electric. He was traded in the Soto trade. He went to the Nationals. He's a big, strong guy. His cards are flying off the shelves. He's coming in at, so for instance, guys around him, Evan Carter is like an expensive 25 at $103 for a Bowman Chrome auto. The guy like CJ Abrams, for instance, is on the Nationals as well and was moved in that trade as well and is a shortstop. And he's $30 for a Bowman Chrome auto it's right now. This was as of 10-1. So this is a little bit dated, but it gives you a little bit of a close reaction to what I have listed. James Wood in 10-1 was $175. So like the price is definitely different, which is why I moved him that far up. He's a guy definitely worth investing in, but at a different price level. The reason being is he's come out in a recent release. Typically, recent released players have smoke as high as possible. And because there's new money in the hobby and they're investing in the biggest guys in the releases. And so you'll see guys that don't really deserve having that much money next to their name. And then you'll see guys that are way undervalued. For instance, CJ Abrams, one ahead of him, I think is way undervalued. There's a possibility that he will be around for a long, long time and defending himself for like Nationals hits leader. I think he could go for that kind of thing. Or like later in his career, he's setting records for like how many hits he gets in his career. Sorry, I've got to make sure my alarm is off before it starts going off. So I think CJ Abrams is a guy like that. So that's my top five. I don't know if you have any questions there before we move into the next five.
That's numbers 20 through 25-ish.
Yep.
Right. So, I like James Wood out of all of those names, just because I feel like he Is he, correct me if I'm wrong, has he debuted at the in the bigs yet? Like, has he gotten the call up? Okay, no, so that's a big factor for me liking James Wood, because I feel like that's the marker where I would sell him. Right or wrong, just looking at like making a profit. How to make a profit on baseball cards. Buy.
Yeah, that's the reason why some of the guys that I put on here are a little bit lower. For instance, I like O'Neal Cruz. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good, like, he'll continue to get better, and therefore his prices could continue to be fine. But we've missed our big sell opportunity because he was called up last year. So there's a couple of guys on this list that I have low that I wouldn't necessarily consider low, but we've missed our opportunity.
Right. Okay, cool.
So my next five has some big names in it, and there's one name that people are probably going to ask, why do you have him this high on this list? And then there's a couple of other guys that you're like, why are these guys so low on your list? Because it's kind of weird when we're counting down to say that low is actually high, but I have low stock on some of these players compared to other people, and then high on other people. So, coming in at 19, I have Jordan Walker. 18, I have Corbin Carroll. 17, I have Fernando Tatis Jr. 16, I have Bobby Witt Jr. And 15, I have Anthony Volpe. This is where every name that we say pretty much from now on is going to be a guy that I was like, that's a good baseball player. Jordan Walker, I was texting with our group chat of guys at justbaseball.com last night, and I was like, hey guys, this is what I ended up coming up with my top five. Like, just what are your thoughts? And Aram Layton, who's the CEO of Just Baseball, just texted me back, Jordan Walker. So he was just like, okay, I guess Jordan Walker is his top five only. So, but Jordan Walker is $750 for a Bowman Chrome auto right now. So it's just, this guy is really inflated in terms of his prices, and I'm not sure there's going to be room to make money on it. Is he electric? Absolutely. Can you make plays there? Yes. But the reason why he's so high for me is he's not necessarily an obtainable option at the moment, because that the price really gouges out a ton of people. You're going to probably have to be buying his Chrome first non-autos to make plays here instead of, unless you have the bankroll to go in and risk $750 at least on a raw Jordan Walker. So that's why he's that high. Corbin Carroll right after him. He is the number one prospect right now on justbaseball.com's end of year release. The tricky thing is he is already in the major league. So he technically did not classify as a rookie this year. Next year will be his rookie year, but he's so good. He's so clean. He's deliverable. He's on a team that's going to let him have a ton of run, low pressure, all this kind of stuff. Corbin Carroll is a guy that I am interested in investing in a lot of levels. Any of his Bowman cards, I would say, besides inserts, are a go for me. This guy, for instance, is $46 rather than $750. So that's a 150% different market. We have missed his call-up opportunity, but I don't think we've seen his heyday yet, which is why I think Corbin Carroll is still this high on my list. Fernando Tatis Jr. being high on this list, people are going to question that, because they're like, isn't he a big deal? Isn't he, got that steroid suspension? He's already been called up. His questions with his playability and what position he's in. He is a star in this league, and as soon as he gets back, he will have cameras all over him. This is why I have him this high, is because there's a good opportunity still to make a lot of money flipping Fernando Tatis Jr. cards. He was suspended for 80 games, and I believe he took almost half of that suspension this year. So he'll miss maybe a month and a half next year. He does have some injury concern. He does have his concerns with some of his long-term playability at shortstop. But what we don't have concerns with is how electric of a baseball player he is. He's going to be a beast as long as he stays out of trouble in terms of his ringworm medication, which was apparently what got him the steroid ding, which I do not believe at all. This is another guy that I think you can invest in his Topps cards as well. He has a sideways Topps, a rookie that is regularly liquid. Now, this guy is undervalued right now, I believe, as well. I think you can get in there and make a play on Fernando Tatis Jr. because of his situation, which is why I have him so high. Bobby Witt Jr. above him also has made it to the major leagues, but this is a guy that everybody loves and hasn't gotten a chance to shine yet either. He was making a good name for himself, but the Royals are god awful right now. So Bobby Jr. is BWJ is an electric baseball player. He last year he was probably number 1 to 5 for me before he made his debut. I love Bobby Witt Jr. I think he's the kind of baseball player that's going to be around for a long, long time. I think I see like shades of Troy Tulowitzki with him, a little bit more power. He's a big, strong guy, but he still can play athletically at his position. I think he's going to be a guy that the Royals, or obviously he's a guy the Royals build around. He's a guy that will have his best days in front of him, which is why I think it's still a good investment. He's very liquid. Anthony Volpe, another guy similar to Jordan Walker, very expensive, already baked in his price, already baked in that he's going to be the Yankees shortstop of the future. And he is. He's totally that guy, which is why he's this high on this list. But he is a guy that came out in that 2020 Chrome set with Jason Dominguez. Everybody was chasing Jason Dominguez in those breaks and all that Yankees lore. And then they were getting these Anthony Volpe autos with, like, while searching for Jason Dominguez and weren't excited about it. And then, like, a couple of months down the road, Volpe's the one you want. Jason Dominguez is having a better season than he was last year, but based in it, like priced wise at $254 right now or in October. And then Volpe is at $309. Like, that shows you that Volpe is worth investing in. But at the same time, it's one of those that you're going to have to shell out some cash to make some cash. So spend some money to make some money. In this situation, Volpe comes in at number 15 for me. Any questions about 15 through 20?
Interesting that there's still plays to be made on Tatis. I like Volpe. I like him a lot. It's going to be his time, right? So Interesting that Bobby Witt Jr. still has some legs. I mean, he hasn't fallen into the Torkelson, Riley Green, Adley Rutschman situation where he already got his call up and now we're just not sure about him. So you still feel like Bobby Witt and with Tatis, you can still make some plays. But then Volpe hasn't gotten the call, correct?
Nope. Volpe is still a minor leaguer. For now, that is a quick leash, my friend. Like, that could be in spring training. The Rangers Rangers. I hope the Rangers call him up if that ever happens somehow. But the Yankees will call him up. I believe that he's the shortstop of the future. IKF is just not the guy over there. And Volpe is waiting in the wings, man. And they told everybody this. I mean, like, they were in the mix for Judge, and I think they just were looking at Volpe and they're like, that's going to be who they want. They're going to want Volpe and probably Dominguez too for Soto. And the Yankees just weren't willing to go there. So that speaks volumes. So
nice. Interesting. Jeffrey Davis says, how does Kendall feel about Bochy with the Rangers?
I am stoked that Bochy is a part of this. Chris Young has been putting together a squad of people that I'm excited about. Everything that he's done since he took over has been just amazing. So I am in Chris Young, I trust. Therefore, in Bruce Bochy, I trust. He's been tested. He's won championships against the Texas Rangers. We lost to his team in 2010. So I think he's the perfect kind of a guy to bring in to solidify a lot of our Texas Rangers attention to detail. So, but cool. Back to the list.
Yeah, we're moving down the list. 10 to 15 now, 15 down to 10-ish.
Yeah. 15 right. Down to 10. I have Wander Franco at 15, Jeremy Pena at 14, Indy Rodriguez at 13. 12. I'm getting confused now because my numbers are off in my spreadsheet because of the title line. But so let me just say Wander Franco, Jeremy Pena, Indy Rodriguez, Brett Beatty, and Aaron Judge. This is probably my most controversial section, where I was looking at these names and I was like, okay, like I can't put them higher, but I can't put them lower. And there's guys that I really like in here. And then there's guys that I don't necessarily love, but the rest of the hobby is really high on. And so I've got to put them in here. And so this was probably my section where some of these guys, you could probably argue me away from these positions on this list, but this is where a safe range for some of these guys. So for instance, I'll just start at the top of this section. Wander Franco is $72, has had an extreme fall from where he came into the league. Someone paid $250,000 for an out of five BGS 9.5 before he ever hit the turf in Tampa Bay. He had a lackluster season this year, was still a great shortstop, but was not top five player in the league, which everybody expected him to be. I went back and forth the year before he came into the league where I was like, I don't know if he's overhyped. I don't know what's going on. He came into the league, played really well. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe he is that guy. Maybe he is the Wander Franco everybody's saying that he is. And then we've seen him get some injuries, kind of just not be as electric as people thought. The point is, he's an amazing baseball player and there will be a market for him. And that's why he's this high on the list. At $72 for his Bowman Chrome Auto, that is way, 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 way less than it used to be somewhere. So I think there are still plays to be made. I think he doesn't have to do much for his value to pop back off. Like, I think there's certain players that no matter if they're playing well or not, they can do like one thing and all of a sudden everybody's just going to be like chomping at the bits to get a Wander Franco card again. And I think that's very similar to how I feel about Fernando Tatis Jr. Like, they are one good media report away from people just shoving the bag back over to where they're comfortable. And this is the kind of guy that I think you can flip for his entire career. Like, if you just did the strategy of flipping one player forever, I think you could swing trade Wander Franco all the way to Valhalla. Like, you're just going until it's done. Wander Franco is coming in at 15 for me. Jeremy Peña at 14. The only reason I have him this up until the World Series, he was probably in my top eight. And now he's a little bit out of that top eight because his market, I think, has peaked for now. I think there will also be another buying opportunity next spring where people are excited again about Peña and what the Astros are going to do again. I think he's a guy that is a perennial investment at this point. He's a guy that you can make money on every single year, depending on if you buy him at the right time. I would not buy him right now, per se, because his market has never been hotter. And we talked about that last week on the Sports Card Strategy Show. But I think you could give this a couple of weeks, wait till the releases are coming out. You could probably buy a couple of Peña's, and then when spring training rolls around, you could make money, you could make good margin on them, I believe. So he's not a guy, he is in the MLB already, so he's coming at $177 right now. If you're able, I think that's, well, obviously that was before the World Series. I saw a base chrome auto selling for around $225, which is interesting that I sold mine before the season started, or as his first home run was hit, for $205. So that gives you some hype cycles about what people are looking for at the beginning of seasons. I think Jeremy Peña could do that. Indy Rodriguez, I'm sure somebody is like, who the hell is Indy Rodriguez? And why is he on this list in between guys like Wander Franco and Aaron Judge? The point for this is, Indy is not known yet. Like, he is a guy that is going to be electric for this Pirates team. And he's a guy that in my stats research, he's popping off the charts. There's another guy like this, Kyle Manzardo, who's also way down in my list. But he's the same way, where nobody's really talking about him, but he's popping off. Colt Keith is a similar way. No one's talking about him, but he's popping off. There are some of these guys that statistically I'm looking at, I say they are going to be a riser. Indy Rodriguez has been a riser for me for the past year. He's been a guy that I have sold the farm on. And so your people are going to be like, hey, where's Indy in this list? Because you've talked about him forever and ever. Amen. He's at number 12 for me, because I think over the next 12 months, Indy Rodriguez market is probably going to be ridiculous. He's coming in at $72. I think he makes the official switch to an outfielder for the Pirates. I think he'll be primarily an outfielder, and every once in a while he will catch. And I think that has hurt his market previously, because people are like, catchers, we don't invest in catchers. And I'm going to say we do now. We do invest in certain catchers now. Harry Ford is another guy that is could have potentially been on my list. I'm not big on him because of how expensive his cards are already. And I don't think I think his market will go down before it goes up. But Harry Ford is another athletic catcher in the minors that we could be looking at. Henry Davis, he's probably going to be a catcher. Like, he's going to be a true catcher for this Pirates system. Indy will be probably a secondary catcher for them, and he will play every day at second or in left or something like that. Indy's going to be an electric baseball player. Doesn't strike out very much, has a ton of power, very young, very skinny. As he grows, he's going to keep delivering. This Pirates team is going to be super, super fun over the next couple of years. They've got O'Neill Cruz already to bring in guys like Nick Gonzalez and Henry Davis and then Indy Rodriguez. They already have Jack Sawinski. They already have Brian Reynolds. This team is going to be really fun to watch, and they just need some pitching, and that's all. So Indy Rodriguez, I think, is going to be a really nice piece. Brett Beatty right after that is going to be in my number 11 spot. I love Brett Beatty's profile right now, but what I love most about Brett Beatty right now is how cheap he is in comparison to other prospects in his level. This is a guy that I saw an out of 75 go for 230 that was graded. It wasn't graded. I was comparing it to an out of 99 that was graded. It was like $40 difference. Like, this guy, I don't understand why nobody's buying Brett. Brett is a guy that is super good. He's very undervalued right now. And so if you're looking to make just a play and you don't care what his name is, you don't care what team he's on, this is a New York Mets prospect. He's going to be an incredible baseball player. He's a third baseman, which typically profile well in the power department. And he's a guy that's on one of the biggest franchises in the game. If he comes up and is electric for the Mets, people are going to be buying this card all over the place. The Mets love their players. So I think Beatty is actually, I think he's already been pulled up, but he has not officially been a rookie yet. And so we have him ranked number 19 on justbaseball.com's top 100 prospects at the end of our year ranking. And then we are coming him at $34 for a Bowman Chrome Auto Raw. Like, that's incredible for a guy that I think is way, 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 way undervalued. Like, I think if I'm looking around the league in our group chat the other day, somebody was like, why is Brett Beatty so cheap? And then we all of us started looking into it. We're like, wow, this is a guy that is extremely cheap right now compared to where his counterparts are. And like, if you compare him and Jordan Walker together, Jordan Walker, same position, but extremely different price levels. I mean, one guy is number 8 in our Just Baseball prospect ranking. One guy is ranked number 19. But I think if you're looking at that, at only 8 spots away, one guy's worth $750, one guy's worth $34. You know, like, there's an extreme difference there. And I think that what I'm going to say there is Brett has not had his time to shine yet. And he has been up at the major leagues already and has done some stuff, but he hasn't really had his rookie season. I think there's a lot of objectables that he could hit this next year. And I think you could still see some big wins here for Brett as he becomes a full-time player for the New York Mets. And then I have Aaron Judge here at 15. Aaron Judge is a guy that everybody loves. I think Aaron Judge, the reason why I have him at 15 is if he changes teams, actually, you know, just like over the next 4 months, we are going to hear about Aaron Judge every single day until he signs a contract. Aaron Judge is a guy that is going to be paid massive, massive amounts of money this offseason. Somebody's going to get him. And that's basically why I have him in this list. I saw an article yesterday saying he could go anywhere from San Francisco, the Texas Rangers, the Dodgers, like literally anything. It's not a lock that he's going to go back to the Yankees. I think that's obviously the best odds, but he could just go somewhere else. Like, the Yankees, there have been reports at times over this last year that he's just not happy with what's gone on in like they didn't extend him when he wanted to. Now he made his bag and he's going to go get paid. I think the also the play here would be selling Judge around spring training of next year. If and when or whatever, however you're doing with he's coming off of a lull because he didn't play well in the offseason or in the playoffs. So I think right now he's at a price where everybody's like, well, okay, he already hit 62. Like, let's just get, I premature bought him and the Yankees didn't make the World Series. And so people are sad and moody about him. I bet you could get good prices on him. And then if he signs somewhere else, whoever, whatever team that's going to be in spring training, everybody's going to want him for that, that respective franchise. So I think you could make a cheeky play there, but it's largely centered around him switching teams. Okay. So my next, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So this is 6, 7. I got my numbers off somewhere. 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. So actually Judge is my number 10. And so this is 6 through 9 here. 9 being Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think he's a guy that'll be perennially in all-star talk. He'll be perennially top of home run list. He'll be perennially a guy that people love. And he's a guy that his that we've talked about how his market is big, but the Toronto Blue Jays let him down this year. I think his prices would have been completely different and he could have had a Aaron Judge-esque season. Now, obviously he didn't hit as many home runs, but Aaron Judge was largely vaulted by his home runs and the Yankees' success for at his expense. There is a narrative that could, you could say that Vladdy Jr. could do a similar thing next year where he just explodes and takes this young Toronto offense to a big playoff position. And I think he's a guy that I would say hasn't had his best day yet. And so looking forward, I think Vladdy Guerrero could have an extremely hot like young part of his next season. And I think his cards would just pop off again. So he's back at 9. Number 8, I have Christian Encarnacio Strand, which is a new guy to our list. Big power hitter, really undervalued, $30. He's not ranked in our prospects. So this is kind of like the not a necessarily a Hail Mary because I don't believe this is a Hail Mary. I think he's incredible. But this is a guy that for card purposes primarily is why he's in the top 10. There are some guys in some positions and some teams that they're not going to be a top prospect, but they are going to be heavily buyable. And this is Encarnacio Strand for me. I think his cards are so cheap in relation to what his statistics are looking like. He's a guy that I think could skyrocket somebody's portfolio if they invested properly in him. And so I'm saying in the next 6 to 12 months, Christian Encarnacio Strand or CES, is a guy that's more than willing that I'm more than willing to spend cash on and allocate a considerable part of my portfolio on this guy. Cause I believe that what he's going to do it is going to be electric. He's got all the stats that you like. He's got all the percentages you like. When I look at my algorithm that I trust, Encarnacio Strand is very high on that list. It's a guy like, you know, Indy Rodriguez popped off of that list. There's guys like Kyle Manzardo that are on that list. Curtis Meade are on that list. These are guys that are going to be worth investing in long term, but necessarily have not had their call up yet. Encarnacio Strand, definitely one of those guys. A lot of money to be made there as soon as everybody realizes who he is. Right after that, I have Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, always 150% liquid. Always. You can, like, if you have a Bowman auto of Shohei Ohtani, like, you're in the clear for life, I feel like. This is a guy that this is a unique one where over the next 6 to 12 months, people will love him again. Because he's going to stay in LA. People are going to get excited about a new season. They're going to be like, can Shohei do it again? And then you're going to put a nice Shohei Ohtani card out on a table, and people are going to buy it. Like, he's super liquid. He's super playable. He's one of my favorite players in the game. You can't not love Shohei. Everything he does is just like, you're just like, wow, he's the best baseball player in the world, and he's the greatest person of all time. What a win. Is this guy going to run for president or something? You know, like, obviously, I know he can't, you know, all right, whatever. But at the same time, I love Shohei. We've talked about him last week as a buying opportunity in the sports card strategy show. His numbers in terms of his market movers are way down than what they could be. There are so many cards that you could buy of Shohei's and make money. That's why I think this he's so high on my list. This is not just a Bowman Chrome auto. You can literally buy a rookie debut. You could buy a rookie card. You could buy his pitcher variation of a rookie card. You could buy his hitter variation of a rookie card. You could buy his... there's like a yellow border heritage card that actually is really popular. And so like, this is not just a Bowman or a Topps rookie card situation. Shohei is one of those guys where you can buy a number of his cards and win. What I would say is if you're going to buy some of those sets that are, or some of those cards that are lower in the ranking, I guess, like if it's not a Bowman auto or, you know, a rookie auto, because those are really expensive for Shohei. So you can make plays on cards lower than that. What I would do is either buy a lot of them and submit them to PSA and then sell them in the spring, which is like what Paul has talked about previously as a cheeky play, or just go ahead and go out and buy PSA 10s. I, for instance, have a 2019 Sapphire PSA 10 that's numbered. And at one point, it was like $300 worth of a card. And it's his second year card. So there's still a lot of money to be made in Shohei. I think he's a guy that you could hedge a lot of bets for younger players on. Like you could make a, you know, if you're looking at your portfolio, you're going to have some safe investments and you're going to have some risky investments. Shohei is, I think, a stable investment. And then right after this, this is where these guys, now we're going to either get into super high dollar prospects or guys that are at least or potentially risky or guys that are so stable they've got to be in the top 10. So my next coming in at 5 or 6, I have Marcelo Meyer, who was a big, big, big release in the 2021 draft, which was just last year. He's a shortstop that was drafted by the Boston Red Sox. He's everything he's profiled to be. There is a couple of shortstops in this set in 2021 draft that are just probably going to be perennial all-stars. Like, there's just a lot of really good talent in that 2021 draft Bowman box. And so Marcelo Meyer comes in at number 6. He has a super beautiful swing. All of his numbers are right. He plays on a big franchise. This guy is a guy that you could probably bet the farm on, and he's going to come through for you. Like, this is a situation where he could end up going for mega, mega money if he comes up at the right time and plays the right way when his call-up for the Red Sox will be. I think he's not a can't-miss, because I don't ever want to say that there's can't-miss prospects, because as we know, prospecting is really tough, and he could, you know, he's one injury away from something that we can't determine. But he's as safe of a prospect as I like in the game. I think Marcelo Meyer coming in at number 6 is somebody that I absolutely love. All right, we're at top 5. We got 10 minutes left.
Yeah, all right. We'll get through it quick. But Jeffrey Davis says, with all the RC variants and short prints now, will the Bowman first be the one to hang on to, since no one knows what RC is the one to invest in? Example, J-Rod. Yes, we want to be investing in Bowman first. So we don't really want anything with an RC logo, because in baseball, it doesn't really mean anything. So you want the Bowman first, Bowman Chrome first auto, ideally. And better, which would be like a serial numbered version, color serial numbered version, or refractor version. So Kendall, I'll let you take it away. We've talked about some veterans here, but this is mostly prospects. And that's the reason why, is because you want their prospect card and you want them before they've been called up to the big leagues, because that is essentially the marker where you can always move their card for a profit. Really, I mean, if as long as you bought at the right time, and or didn't overpay for the card, you should be able to make a profit when they get the call up. So I'll let you take us down to the final 5 minutes here with the top five.
Yeah. So in my top, my coming in at number five, I had Jordan Lawler, who is the other shortstop in that 2021 draft set. The only reason I have him above Marcelo Meyer, and of course they're 5 and 6, but people are going to ask, why did you put one ahead of the other? Is one of them is a bit cheaper than the other, but he also is on a franchise that's not as popular. But at the same time, he is on a franchise that will have a lot less pressure to succeed. He's very, very athletic, a super, super athletic player. Marcelo Meyer might be more technically strong or fundamentally, but Jordan Lawler is more, has a higher ceiling, I believe, than Marcelo Meyer. It's very close and it's a hard call, but I just would rather have Jordan Lawler than Marcelo Meyer. He, for instance, he is number 20 on the justbaseball.com top prospect list, and Marcelo Meyer is number 21 on that list. So they're very, very comparable. The only thing different would be Jordan Lawler has a small injury, like back in the back of your head, you're trying to figure out if there's this back issue. I don't think there is going to be a back issue, but some people like to speculate that his injuries are going to keep him back because of how athletic of a player he is. They're saying that he might profile like a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr., who doesn't take care of his body by playing balls to the walls. And personally, I like balls to the walls, so just go for it. You know, like I like a guy who's just going to lay it all on the line. Jordan Lawler, number five. Number four, this is a really interesting one. Jackson Churio. This is a guy who is way, 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 way young for his level. He at one point was 18 at a level that was three levels higher than other 18-year-olds. And then he was getting promoted again. The Brewers know how to develop. They know how to do pitching, for instance, but they've not really had a hitter that's going to be electric. Jackson Churio is a guy that I've been buying recently, and why he's in my top five is because I think he's a guy that is just going to explode. He could potentially be in the top five prospects in baseball before he ever gets to the major leagues. I think he could be a guy that might end up in the long run suffer from prospect fatigue, but I think we will see him get the call up to spring training with the Brewers this year. I don't think he makes the roster because of how young he is, but I think he will be young enough to explode in spring training and everybody be like, holy crap, this dude is super good. And so the one interesting thing about Jackson Churio is he does not have an auto out yet. I believe it's coming out in this next set that's dropping. So what you would want to do with this play is go out and buy color parallels of his first. Or what I ended up doing was I went out and bought two PSA 10, I bought one and then I was gifted one, two PSA 10s of his base first. So I bought them for about $60-ish. I think that's a great price to get in on him at a PSA 10. I think that continues to go up there is just an insurmountable amount of hype on this guy. Everybody loves him. When you're looking at true prospectors, everybody's coming to the table saying, you got any Jackson Churio? You got any numbered parallels of Jackson Churio? He's a guy that is super, super good. He's ranked number 11 on Just Baseball's top 10 right now, top prospects right now. The only thing that's unique about him is he doesn't have an auto you can invest in right now. So use that opportunity. That has happened before. It's not unheard of. There are guys that they don't like, Topps doesn't believe is going to pop off because they're so young. They just put them in the set and then they pop off and everybody's like, Topps, why don't we have an auto of this guy? And they're like, oh yeah, that's, yeah, let me go get that, you know, like, and so that's one of these situations where Churio is probably going to be the lead guy in this next set that people are chasing. And Churio is a guy that I'm heavily investing in. So I have him at number four in our top 25. Number three, this guy is could be, his floor is maybe Mike Trout and his ceiling is maybe God. You know, like this guy is, he's a, that's a joke really. Like, I don't believe that this guy is going to be like that, but he's a guy, this is a guy that people are just labeling as what Jason Dominguez, they wanted Jason Dominguez to be and was he was projected to be. Ellie De La Cruz at number three is almost one of the safest prospect bets right now. He's going to get called up this next year for the Reds, and I think he's going to be the rookie of the year next year. I think this guy is going to, this is the same situation of last year's Julio Rodriguez. We are going to see a Julio Rodriguez type rise and season and growth and money making opportunity from Ellie De La Cruz this year that we saw last year with Jason with Julio Rodriguez. There is opportunities here that it's an expensive play, but I think you're going to make massive amounts of money with the right cards. If you can find your way into a numbered parallel that's not, like, for instance, I saw a numbered parallel that was like 40K already. And so, like, this guy already has a big market, but he's going to come into the league and destroy baseballs at an alarming rate. And in Cincinnati, that ballpark is made for hitters. That is one of the best hitters ballparks in America and always has been. And therefore, balls are going to fly out of that stadium. Ellie De La Cruz could he is my pick for 2023 Rookie of the Year. Definitely one of the most investable players out there coming in at number three. I think it's almost a no-brainer if you can find one that is in your price range. That is the only way that, like, in the top five-ish, Churio, $60, very obtainable. Ellie De La Cruz, very much of a different price point, but definitely very much of a different price point because he's less risky for sure. So I would say Ellie at number three. Then the top two are not very surprising, but are just good investments no matter what. We have number two, we have Mike Trout. Everybody was low on Mike Trout coming out of the injury. Everybody thought he was done for his career. Everybody was starting to sell Mike Trout, and he's still at a low buying opportunity, and it's still Mike freaking Trout. This guy is one of the best baseball players to ever suit up in the game, and I believe eventually this Angels franchise will turn something around, and Mike Trout will have an opportunity to have a freaking awesome year. And so I think he's healthy. They're going to be playing him less in the field. Therefore, his back will be all figured out and set up. It's not as bad as they previously thought it was going to be. And I think long-term, Mike Trout is going to go down as one of the best of all time. He's still one of my favorite investments out there. If you can go find some of his this one, for instance, this you can invest in the RC logos for Mike Trout. His Bowman Chrome autos are wildly expensive because they're not very popular. They came out in 2011. So the pop count is super, 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 super low. So this is where I would believe you could go for an RC logo. I, for instance, have been investing in the Bowman Chrome of his RC with a black border. And there's green text on the bottom. If you guys are familiar with the card I'm talking about, I love that card. I bought one this year for $400. Right before his market started to dip, and now it's about right up to that $400. And the top one next would be Julio Rodriguez coming in at number one on our list. This is a guy that I believe is a combination of like what Mike Trout could be, what Derek Jeter could be, and what Ken Griffey Jr. could be in terms of their market shares. This is a guy that the MLB is continuing to push money towards. He's going to be the face of the MLB over the next forever, and Julio Rodriguez has shown that he is have the ability to win, and they've yet to announce that he could potentially, like, I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year in the American League. I think it's almost a no-brainer, but they have yet to announce it yet, and so there's still run to be made. Julio Rodriguez will continue to be good. I think the Seattle Mariners add another superstar this offseason, and Julio getting the Mariners to the playoffs for the first time in 11 years, I think he's going to continue to do things like pushing them into the World Series and things like that down the road. He's a guy that is my number one prospect that I would, or not even prospect, he's my number one investment in all sports cards. I don't care if he's already in the major leagues. I think he's the safe as you can get, and there's still money to be made. This is another guy you could trade forever and ever and never buy another card other than Julio Rodriguez and make a ton of money.
Woo! Nice work, Kendall McKee. That was a power pack show. Everybody, be sure to check out nooffseason.com throughout the week for these updated rankings that reflect the show today. And take Kendall's advice. He's helped me make some money on baseball cards. Everybody, thanks for watching and listening to the Baseball Card Strategy Show. Have a great day. Kendall, let's cue that rock music, huh?
Cue it, baby. I'm freaking tired.